Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Hebrews chapter 4, we'll start there. Hebrews chapter 4. Five steps to personal breakthrough. Five steps to personal breakthrough. It can be a breakthrough like I just prayed about with a debilitating infirmity. It can be a financial breakthrough. It can be a breakthrough on the job. It can be a breakthrough with personality conflict, whatever it may be. However, when the Lord dropped this into my heart, it was more a breakthrough for self because of self-limiting thoughts, self-limiting ideas. You know, people get complacent. We get complacent with our faith. We get complacent with our Christian walk. We get complacent with who we are in Christ. We got to break through. We have to break through. The saints of old in the first outpouring or the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit back in Azusa Street, and for the next 20 years or so, maybe more than that, they would do something called praying through. They would pray through. They would pray until they broke through. Now, what, you think that God has had a timer and he's waiting? No. It wasn't God that they were praying to break through. It was themselves. They would get to that place through concerted prayer that they would break through self. They would break through self. Now, it's not what we do, because we do things to serve God, right? Everybody does things to serve God. That's not it. We're not just called to do things. We're called to be. This is what we're talking about today. Personal breakthrough, that we would be who God's called us to be. Now, he has not called us just to do natural things for the kingdom of God. Naturally giving, naturally helping, naturally serving. And many of you are involved in natural things serving God. But God has a higher calling for the saints of God. We are called to become supernatural. We are of this world. We are in this world, but no longer of this world. Remember that? We're in the world. What does he mean by that? Well, what did they say about Jesus? We've never heard anybody talk like this. We've never seen this. We've never seen this kind of power. For with authority, he speaks the word. He teaches the word. That is the pattern for us. Some would say in their hearts right now, some are thinking this, well, he was God. No, he ministered as a man. Yes, he's the Son of God, but he ministered as a man. He ministered with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that we have. Same Holy Spirit. He was showing us by example, not just by word, but by deed. Now here it says, and in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick. That means alive. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The first thing, if we are going to have personal breakthrough, is to bring ourselves to the understanding of the integrity of the word. The integrity of the word. It doesn't even start with us. It starts with our comprehension of God's word. God's word is alive. It is not a history. It is not a story. It is not a fable. And it is not a myth. It is not yesterday. It is now. Faith is now. God's word is a book of now. What he's doing now. Not just what he did, but what he's doing now. Some would not have him doing anything now because they're looking at what he did then. God wants us to see that what he did then, he does now because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his word is for now. We must understand in the integrity of the word that it is a revelation from God to each of us. Not just a revelation from God to mankind, but a revelation from God to each of us. We each have a revelation from God each and every day, not just one. It's him speaking to us. When the word of God floats up into our spirit, he's giving us a personal revelation. When we're listening to a message like right now and something suddenly explodes in our hearts, that's God speaking to us. When the Spirit of God gives us an impression, a direction, a revelation, that is God speaking to us. God's word is for now. It's a book of now. And we need to fit our beliefs into God's word, not fit God's word into our beliefs. There are too many people who are believing things that are not the word of God. For example, believing that it's okay to be in church occasionally, whether online or in person, but you don't have to be all the time. God's word says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to get a greater reverence for the body of Christ. We need to get a greater reverence for the presence of God, and that we would not feel like we can skip out whenever we have something more important. What is more important than God? What is it? What is it? What's more important than the presence of God in our lives? What's more important than the word of God in our lives? I don't understand. I don't comprehend how church people can believe that there's anything in their lives more important than the presence of God. But yet they demonstrate it every single week by not being in person or online for the things of God. Now, occasionally, of course, people are away. People go to visit family. People go on vacation. We're not talking about that. We're talking about habitual lifestyle, casually taking their church and the presence of God. That's got to change. That must change. Now, turn the corner. Do not be lukewarm. That's lukewarm. You're nothing but lukewarm. There's no other word for it. That is lukewarm. And God says that's the one thing he does not want. So if we are spirit-filled believers, how can we be lukewarm? How can we allow that in our lives? Time to change. And when we change, we are going to have personal breakthrough. This is the first step to personal breakthrough. Understanding the integrity of the word. Number two, recognizing our freedom in Christ. Recognizing our freedom. No, we are not bound by sickness. Forget it. Anybody who's bound by sickness, and when I say bound, means that they don't serve the Lord, they don't minister to the Lord, they don't come to church, they don't go online because of their illness. They're bound by that illness. They're bound. They're not free. Now, just because someone has an illness or infirmity or sickness, that doesn't mean they're bound. Someone who is seeking God with all their heart, someone who is living for Jesus in spite of their weakness, infirmity, or whatever it may be, that is a person that's going to get something from the presence of God. That's a person that's going to get a miraculous change, miraculous answered prayer. Recognize that we are free in Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Did I tell you that yet? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll look at verse 12. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Blood is the basis for our freedom. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, that's the basis for our freedom. But we add to that. That's our starting point. Unfortunately, many people, that's their ending point. They get saved and that's that. No, that's the starting point. That is the beginning. That is the starting block. When you're born again, that's your beginning. That's not your end. We add to that our testimony and our confession. Our testimony and our confession. We confess the word of God. We hold fast the word of God. We're going to look at that in a little bit. We hold fast to the confession. We make a confession. Does everybody have a personal confession today? Does everybody have a scripture you are speaking over yourself today, or over your family, or over your circumstance, or over your church? Does everyone have a personal confession? We are to be holding fast the confession of our faith. If we have no confession, we have nothing to hold to. Hold fast the confession of your faith. Nothing to hold on to. Get a confession of faith today. If we don't already have one, get one. Hold on to that. Hold it by saying it, declaring it. We call those things that be not as though they are. If you have a sick member of the family, call him healed. If you have a need in the family, call it supplied. If you have a financial need, call it financially supplied. Whatever it is, you begin to call those things that be not as though they are. We are a faith church. We are a faith church. We are a word church. Call it. Say it. Hold fast to it. It's not natural. It's not normal. It's supernatural. And it works. It's the power of God. And it works. Stand your ground. Because the enemy is going to try to convince you that you're not going to get it. You're just being silly. You're making it up. It's a pipe dream. Hold your ground. Jesus rules and dominates our lives because he's the head. He's the head. The enemy is not the head. Your head is not the head. The devil's not the head. Your body's not the head. Nobody in your life is the head of your life. It's not people. It's not circumstance. And it's not low-level living. Jesus is the head, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. We've got to get heavenly thoughts, heavenly concepts, heavenly faith, which is beyond the natural, beyond the circumstance, beyond the sickness or the symptoms. Either we're going to live beyond it, or we're going to be bound under it. Time for us to make the choice and go for the supernatural in God. Number three, the authority. Recognize the authority in Jesus' name. Number one was recognize the integrity of the Word of God. Number two, recognize our freedom in Christ. Number three, recognize the authority in Jesus' name. That's John chapter 14. John chapter 14. If you want to go there right now, John chapter 14. Recognize the authority in Jesus' name. John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, in my name, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have the power of attorney to use his name. If anyone has ever had the power of attorney, you know we have an attorney on with us today. If you have the power of attorney, you can do and transact business on behalf of somebody else. They sign the power of attorney. They sign their rights over to you. And you can do business and transact business in their name. For them. Well, Jesus has given us the power of attorney to do business in his name. What kind of business? Kingdom business. Healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, speaking the word of God, healing the brokenhearted, loosing the captives. This is kingdom business. We are to be about our Father's business. Isn't that what Jesus said? I must be about my Father's business. Too many people don't recognize their business. Can you imagine if you got power of attorney for someone's business and you ignored it and they passed away and all their business is all in a jumble? No. We have power of attorney to kingdom business. It's up to us to recognize we have authority. We can use his name. We can transact business for God. We are called with legal rights. We have legal rights. When you resist the enemy, he's got to go. Don't take no. Don't take no. Remember, I did a message on that about 6 months ago. Don't take no. Don't allow the enemy to fudge or compromise with you. No. You have the legal right to make him loose your stuff, loose your things, loose your family, loose your body, loose your finances in Jesus' name. It's all in Jesus' name. He gave us rights to his name. Use his name. Use it. Number four. And we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Number four, recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. Recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. We know about the power of the Holy Spirit, but do we recognize? We hear about wonderful miracles here and there, mostly abroad or somewhere else, never where we are. No, recognize the power of the Holy Spirit where we are. It's not just the Holy Spirit is powerful here or there. He's powerful everywhere. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does he say? He tells us to be strong in the power of his might. We've got to recognize that power is for us. We've got to recognize that we walk in that power. We talk in that power. We exist in that power. resurrection power, the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave, has been put into us. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in us, he makes us alive to the things of God. Are you alive to the things of God today? Or alive to the things of life? Our regular humdrum, ordinary life. Some, we get so carried away with cares in our normal lives. You know, we're doing this and doing that and running here and running there and doing all that. But are we aware of the things of God? I'm going to do a partner scripture to that. You don't need to turn this time. It's 2 Corinthians 10:4. You can write it down. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty. Now that, just that right in and of itself says that if we fight in the natural, we lose. He said it's not natural weapons, but mighty. That if we are in the spirit, it's mighty. The reason that more believers are not getting mighty results is because they're in the flesh and not in the spirit. To be in the spirit means that we are in the anointing, praying in the anointing, listening in the anointing, staying in the anointing, serving God. Are y'all praying 15 minutes a day in the spirit now? 15 minutes a day, are you ready to kick that up? Maybe some are already kicking it up to more in the spirit. Praise the Lord. That's why the heat's being turned up. Because we're in the spirit more. Let's go all the way. Let's pray till we pray through. Individually and corporately. Can we do that? I believe we can. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And now it's interesting that most of those strongholds are in our own mind, as the next verse says. We're not going there right now, but I might. I don't know. I'll see. But the strongholds, it doesn't matter what stronghold it is. Our weapons pull it down. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We are empowered to enforce our authority. You know, if a policeman, and I've said this before, if a policeman with his uniform, that's his authority, right? And so there's a semi coming down the road at 55 miles an hour. It probably weighs, you know, 50, 60,000 pounds. And with one hand, that policeman can stop that semi. Just puts his hand up because of his authority, of his uniform. He doesn't have the strength to do it, but he can put that hand up. Now, if that semi stops, doesn't stop, is coming on, and I'm going to be Islamophobic for a moment, and let's say that he looks in and he sees some Middle Eastern type with a turban and a crazy look on his face, you know, and shouting, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, he has a gun. And he has authority to use that. And that weapon, that power, enforces his authority. He can use it. He is authorized to use that. We have weapons we are authorized to use. We have weapons we are authorized to use. We can use the weapons of our warfare, and we will not be judged for it. We are expected to use those weapons, and we are expected to use them against the enemy. In Jesus' name. We are empowered to pull down the stronghold. We are empowered to set the captives free. We are empowered to change our own minds from complacency to energy for the kingdom of God. All right, number 5, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, so far, we have recognizing the integrity of the word, recognizing our freedom in Christ, recognizing our authority in Jesus' name, recognizing our power in the Holy Spirit. And here it is, recognizing there are winning words. There are winning words. How many of you have ever been on a sports team of any kind with a locker room? What kind of phrases did they have up on the wall in that locker room? Losers are kinder. Did you have that phrase up? Losers are kinder. Did you have any phrase up that said, it's okay if you lose? We like you anyway. Did you have that up on there? Did you have that phrase so that the team gets really charged up to go out and play? It's okay if you lose. We like you anyway. Losers are kinder and gentler. Did you have that up on there? Did you have anything? Anything like that? No, what kind of phrases did you have up on there? No pain, no gain, right? It was Vince Lombardi who said, if winning isn't everything, because you've heard the phrase, winning isn't everything. Did they have that up on the locker? Winning isn't everything? It didn't say that in my locker room. Vince Lombardi said, if winning isn't everything, how come we keep score? Think about it. And you know the thing is? God keeps score. That's why there's a judgment. Now, there are going to be a couple of judgments, you know. One judgment we're going to miss. Praise the Lord. That's the judgment of sin. We're going to miss that. But we're going to face another judgment. The judgment of the deeds done in our bodies. And it doesn't mean if we've been, you know, if we've been faithful in our marriage, it does mean that. If we've been good. No, it means what we're doing for the gospel. What we've done since we got saved. And I can see some brains are saying, not much. Okay, so get busy before we get to that judgment seat. That we got some stuff. We got a track record. We did something. We got, you know, when there are awards. Have you ever watched? Now, I don't understand this. Let me just say I don't understand this. Football season just started. College football season just started. And, you know, when I played ball, if you do something outstanding in a game, they would give you a star they would put on your helmet. And I know that Ohio State, for example, they put Buckeyes on there. Well, by the end of the season, you'd have a lot of these stars or a lot of these Buckeyes. But I saw a clip from a game yesterday, and there were players that their helmets were loaded. What? It's only the second or first game of the season. What did they do? How could they have all those on their helmet? What, are they left over from last year? I'm serious. I have no idea how, if they just started the game, they can have all these award things on their heads. I don't get that. What, do they get rewarded for what they do in practice? Oh, you showed up for practice today. We're going to give you a star. Maybe that's the new football with the new generation. We don't get a star for just showing up. We get a star for being Christ. We get a star for doing. When you just show up, you're in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But we want to do something exceptional for the kingdom of God. Remember, I said that there was Cornelius. He was a Gentile. He was an Italian, of course, but a Gentile. I mean, Italians, we got it in with God. Ask Dr. Al. We got it in with God. I mean, we invented lasagna. For after all, the Lord gave us a revelation. We created lasagna. And so we know, you know, we are close to God's heart. What's that? Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I knew somebody named Joe Gentile. That was his name, Joe Gentile. I mean, in Italian, Joe Gentile, which means kind, right? Gentile means kind. It doesn't mean pagan. It means kind. Anyway, so here, Cornelius, what's it say about him? There's a memorial in heaven because of what he's doing. Now, just think about that for a minute. You got this guy occupying army, and he's got a memorial in heaven because of what he does. Do we have memorials? Any of us got a memorial? We all should have memorials in heaven. We all should. There should be. But only we can make sure there is. Nobody else can do it for us. We got to make sure there is. So, Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful to promise. Winning words. Winning words. Holding fast the profession of our faith. Do we have, I said earlier, we're going to look at this again. Do we have a profession of faith? Are we saying something? Are we holding fast to something? You don't need to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's twice. In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. He's telling us, get a confession of faith, hold fast to it. That means don't waver. Don't compromise. Hold on to it. Call those things that be not as though they are. Hold on to it. Trust God. Jesus taught us that very same thing. It's in Mark 11, verse 23. For verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, but shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, let's turn it around. Let's not just talk to the external mountains. Let's talk to the mountains in our own heart, our own minds. Let's talk to those mountains of doubt, those mountains that doubt that we can be who Pastor Frank says we are because God says we are, that we can be movers and shakers in the kingdom of God. Let's speak to that mountain. Let's get that mountain out of our hearts. Let's get that doubt out of our minds. Let's uproot those thoughts of inability, those thoughts that we can never get to be supernatural, that we can never go into the supernatural, that we're not going to see the things of Pentecost, that we're not going to be the people of the early days of Pentecost, that that's over, that that's done. Let me remind you, that's exactly what the church thought about the apostles, that the move of God was over and done. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that unbelief. It's time for the church to rise up once again. It's time for the church to be glorious once again. It's time for the church to be supernatural, to hear things, see things, know things by the Spirit of God, not by man, but by the Spirit of God. To move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, being in the right place at the right time, sharing a word that will change a life or many lives. It's going to take personal breakthrough. Breaking through our faulty conception of who we are. Breaking through the faulty conception of our destiny. Our destinies are much greater than what we thought.
Well, hey, this is Pastor Frank, and I'm going to stop that message right there and ask everyone a question, all of our listeners. Are you ready for change? Are you ready for more of God? Are you ready to be more in God? Are you ready to be more like the first century church, the church that we read about in the book of Acts? If you answer yes, I'm inviting you to Real Life Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We are gathering the saints of God to do the work of the ministry. We want to see revival. Can you believe for a revival in North and South Carolina with me? Can you trust God for a moving of the Spirit that will be astounding with signs, wonders, and miracles? People repenting with tears, people coming to the altars of our churches. We're not talking about a revival in one church at one time, but something that falls, well, not something, but someone, the Spirit of God, who falls simultaneously in our churches throughout the Carolinas. Can you put your faith out there with me? Can you believe? Can you pray with me? Can you join me right here at Real Life Radio every Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m.? Can you join me online for church Sunday morning 9:30, Sunday evening 7 p.m., Tuesday evening 7 p.m., Thursday evening 7 p.m.? Just simply go to amiraclechurch.com, amiraclechurch.com, and register for the services, and you'll be a part. God is moving. God is preparing. God desires, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Himself, desires His church to rise up and to begin to act like the body of Christ. Just look, He's the head. You saw, you read in the Word of God, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. They would say things like, we've never heard anyone teach like this. We've never seen miracles like this. He's our head. We're the body. We're to be carrying out the same ministry with the same gifts by the same Holy Spirit, speaking the same word. Put your faith out there for more. Believe for more. Pray for more. Pray in the Holy Spirit each and every day. Prepare your hearts to serve God in a new and a living way, in a much more exciting way, and in a way that produces fruit, fruit that shall remain. Remember, our job is to bring souls into the kingdom of God. Every single day, we can freely give what we have freely received, sharing our faith in Christ, our personal testimony, and that's all it will take to change a life, to open a heart to receive Jesus, that their sin is washed away, and they become new creations in Christ. Our job to build the church, our job to show the power of God, our job to show the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your light shine this week. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't hide it under a bed. Don't put it somewhere where others don't see it. You are the light of the world. Jesus Himself said that. Allow Him to shine through you. Allow Him to point the way to our Heavenly Father. Allow His name to be glorified. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. It's time for the church to rise up, to overcome personal limitations, personal self-doubts, personal lack, and do the things of God without fail. God will be glorified, His name will be lifted up, and people will turn their lives over to Christ. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.